broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Good evening and welcome to the Phil Hendry Show, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go anywhere, even beyond the, through, you know, the looking glass, man, is what I was trying to say.
Yeah, like Alvin in Wonderland.
Not Alvin in Wonderland. Are you kidding?
Where did you get that, man? That's what I thought it was called.
Alvin in Wonderland. You really thought it was called that, huh?
What's the one with Alvin?
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh.
You know, sometimes, Bud, I don't know whether you're telling me the truth or not, you know?
Dude, man, you got to be really stupid. Well, I didn't say...
I agree with him. You either have to be really stupid or you're making that up. Alvin in Wonderland.
Dad thought that's what it was.
Man, get around. Read some books. Read a book.
You read a book.
What are you telling me to read books? I'm the only guy here that reads books. Alvin in Wonderland. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that, what they have Alice and the Chipmunk? Do you think they have Alice and the Chipmunk? They can do whatever they want to do.
Do they have Alice and the Chipmunks is what he's asking.
No.
Then they don't have Alvin in Wonderland. It's the other way around. Well, here we go again, starting off another show, trying to figure out what Bud's talking about. That's great.
You don't have to say anything.
You don't have to say anything either. You don't have to say anything either. You could just shut up. There's a concept. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is show number 853,000, where we started off trying to figure out what Bud's talking about. Alvin in Wonderland. I got your Alvin in Wonderland swinging.
Yeah, I'll bet you do.
Anyway, welcome to the show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Very interesting bit of news. Interesting from the standpoint of the silliness of this thing is beyond my comprehension. Nonetheless, like you, I've come to expect just about anything. This has to do with a new Herman Cain ad that shows his chief of staff smoking a cigarette. And when you watch the commercial, you will see the man, and his name is Mark Block, puffing a cigarette as the line, I'm proud to be an American, or something like that, is being sung. So in other words, he gives this, he gives a pitch during the commercial, and then he puffs on a cigarette as you hear this American-style singing or an American lyric. Let's listen to the ad. And just, I'll point out for you when the cigarette smoking takes place.
Mark Block here. Since January, I've had the privilege of being the chief of staff to Herman Cain and the chief operating officer of the Friends of Herman Cain. Tomorrow, it's one day closer to the White House. I really believe that Herman Cain will put United back in the United States of America. And if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here. We've run a campaign like nobody's ever seen. But then, America's never seen a candidate like Herman Cain. We need you to get involved, because together, we can do this. We can take this country back.
I am America. One voice, united we stand.
All right, now, this is where he smokes the cigarette. Now, on Phil TV and HD, we're there. You see the cigarette being puffed. I Am an American is the lyric that is sung, and there you have the Mark Block for Herman Cain ad. That has been taken, and obviously when you smoke a cigarette in mass media today, if you're smoking a cigarette on television, I don't think they even allow it in TV anymore, just for very, very specific character needs, you know. Like, I was on a sitcom called Teachers, in which I played an older teacher who smoked cigarettes, and there was one scene I remember where I smoked a cigarette very, very briefly.
Yeah, well, the whole show was on very briefly.
Yes, that's correct. The whole show was on very, very briefly.
The cigarette you had probably lasted longer than the series.
Actually, the cigarette I had lasted shorter than the series, but your point is well made. I get it. Thank you for rubbing it in. Anyway... So, yeah, the character smoked a cigarette, but they don't really allow it, and it is considered a negative. It's very unusual to see, and even now people are wanting to ban it from motion pictures where you pay to walk into. I always felt that if you pay the money to walk in to see something, you should be allowed to see any damn thing you want to see. How could anybody come down hard on a film like cigarette smoking. So this was in the minds of people today when they saw this ad. They thought, well, this is people who wanted to politicize this, people that oppose Herman Cain, people that are opposed to conservatives, whatever, decided that they would take this ad and say the following things. It, A, means that Herman Cain is endorsing cigarette smoking. B, is let's go to the old standby. B, it's bad for children. We don't want our kids looking at cigarette smoking because then they will emulate it and they will become the lowest scum on earth. Never mind the fact that, you know, in history, some of the greatest people in the history of the world were cigarette smokers, some of the greatest artists, some of the greatest politicians, some of the greatest thinkers, some of the greatest people were cigarette smokers. But we don't want people to know that, do we? So we, for instance, to give an example, on the Robert Johnson stamp that the U.S. Post Office issued, Robert Johnson was one of the great blues singers of the 1930s and 40s, and today is considered legendary among all guitar players and songwriters who are aficionados of the blues, rhythm and blues, and rock and roll, Robert Johnson. And there's a very famous picture of him with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth and the neck of his six-string steel string guitar. They airbrushed the cigarette out. What does that mean? It means that here is a great American, a great influence, but he, despite what he actually did, we don't want you to know that he smokes cigarettes. So we don't want you to know all there is to know about the man. Now, granted, if a guy cheats on his wife or was bad with his child support or was less than a stellar human being, we don't necessarily have to put that into everything we say and do concerning that individual. For instance, Thomas Jefferson owning slaves, Martin Luther King being unfaithful to his wife, and so forth. However, if you're using an image that is iconic of an individual, and there it is a public thing, it's not a private thing, it's not hidden from view, it's nothing that he considered himself to be something he wanted to hide, then why not have the cigarette hanging out of his face? That's some of the thinking on my end of things, if you'll pardon the expression. Now, when I said the children are, scandalized, I wasn't kidding. On the line with me is a young man by the name of Justin McElroy. He is with L.A. Canyon High School, a junior at L.A. Canyon High School, and also is a member of the student council prefecture there. And the kids there at L.A. Canyon have gotten wrapped up in this Herman Cain ad and the cigarette appearing in the ad with Mr. Mark Block. And Justin, how are you this evening?
Yes, sir. I'm doing good.
And thank you for joining us late.
Yes, sir.
What do you think, what do your classmates think? First of all, two questions. How do you feel about people saying this is a bad influence on you? And what is, in point of fact, your opinion? What influence is it actually having on you?
I think that the one person that I've had the most conversation about this with has been my mom, who has influenced me a great deal about this. And I feel that she has told me that it's not good for myself and for other people of my age. I'm 17, and I'm not yet of age. I don't smoke cigarettes. When I see this man, Mr. Block, smoking a cigarette in this commercial, and you said, Mr. Henry, and you're right, that it's a commercial, and it has the song, I'm an American, and when I hear that, when I see it, it does have, I guess, an influence on me that's sort of attractive, you know. And
what do you mean by that?
I think that when I see him smoke the cigarette and I hear I am an American, and talking with my mom and getting a lot of, and getting her views, getting some other views on it, it can't help but enforce in me the feeling that cigarettes are, sort of strong, you know.
All American?
Yeah, all American, and you know, are not bad, certainly, and not anything that, and are indicative of our country and indicative of the strength of our country.
Now, you're mentioning your mom. You're saying in speaking to your mom about this, do you mind if I ask you, what is your mother's political persuasion?
I don't really know. I suspect my mother, I do know that both my parents voted for Barack Obama. I don't know that my mom right now is very happy with Barack Obama, you know, but I don't really know, you know.
Well, would you say that your mother is opposed to Herman Cain?
Well, I mean, I would say that my mom is opposed to Herman Cain for things like this, that he's not very responsible, and, you know, he says stuff that, I think he said something about, you know, throwing people against an electric fence, or he didn't say that.
No, he mentioned that the fence is electrified, and so that, I think something like it solves problems.
Yeah, but I mean, so I think my mom's opposed to him.
Are you saying that otherwise your mother would vote conservative?
Well, I don't really know.
See, here's the reason why I'm asking. I'm wondering if your mom is influencing you based on her politics as opposed to what's best for you.
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of, you know, I love my mom. I think she, you know, does what's best for me.
Well, you know what? That was a bad question. You're right. I apologize for that question. Of course she does. And,
you know, I just think that my mom would always make decisions. I like to think that my mom makes decisions, and my dad, too, you know, based on what's best for me and not necessarily who they want to vote for.
You know, you're absolutely right. I apologize for that question. That's I give your mother credit for that, and I apologize. I guess what I'm saying is, Justin, the fact that you are opposed to this ad or think that this ad is injurious to you as a person, do you feel that way, or is it sort of your mom having more influence on you than ordinarily she would have?
No, I mean, I really do. I mean, I do feel that way. I mean, my mom pointed out to me how, you know, it's how the commercial is bad for young people, but she didn't influence me, if that's what you mean. I did talk to her and tell her what my feelings were. And
what did you tell her your feelings were?
Well, I told her that I was confused by the ad and that I didn't know what it meant and why they were trying to do that. It seemed like they were trying to hurt me, or not me, but they were trying to hurt other kids. And she and I talked about it, and I came away feeling that, yeah, Herman Cain, if he's not trying to hurt kids, which maybe he's not, but I don't know for sure, he doesn't really think too much about kids, because it definitely did hurt me. And
but you came to that conclusion after talking to your mom?
Well, yeah, but I mean, my mom didn't tell me how to think, you know, if that's what you're saying, Mr. Henry, because...
No, I wanted to know, I don't necessarily think that way.
Well, it seems like from your questions, though, that's sort of how you're going.
No, I'm just trying to get all sides. I'm trying to answer questions from all sides, okay? Hold on for a minute. We have Justin McElroy with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. As we talk to him about the Herman Cain ad, which shows Mark Block, his campaign manager, smoking a cigarette. Is it a negative thing for kids? Is it a negative thing for the campaign of Herman Cain? Did it show great insensitivity or stupidity? We're listening to at least one young man here from L.A. Canyon High School, who believes that it did negatively affect him. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We have with us Justin McElroy, a junior at L.A. Canyon High School in the northern environs of Los Angeles County. We're talking with him here about this Herman Cain ad. Now, we're going to play this for you one more time. It is an ad in which Mark Block, who is the campaign manager for Herman Cain, this man is smoking a cigarette in the middle of the ad, and supposedly this made a lot of people angry. It's not in the middle. It's actually at the very end. I'm going to play this for you. When you hear the music, which says something like, I'm an American, or ain't it great to be an American, I don't know if you remember, Justin, what it was.
It's just sort of the singing, and that's the part when I hear it, that's the part where I remember feeling like, you know, smoking cigarettes is probably... you know, a good thing. And I'm 17. I'm not even of age yet, and that's why I say it had a negative influence on me.
Okay, and that's what Justin is saying, and he's also saying a lot of his friends at school are saying the same thing, that the Herman Cain ad with Mark Block had a negative effect. So let's listen right now to this commercial.
Mark Block here. Since January, I've had the privilege of being the chief of staff to Herman Cain and the chief operating officer of the Friends of Herman Cain. Tomorrow is one day closer to the White House. I really believe that Herman Cain will put United back in the United States of America. And if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here. We've run a campaign like nobody's ever seen. But then, America's never seen a candidate like Herman Cain. We need you to get involved, because together, we can do this. We can take this country back.
Right here is where the smoking... So in that area right there where we hear the female singing, "I am an American," is when Mr. Block is taking the drag on the cigarette. And it was a very bold, I think, very bold image that nonetheless, tonight, Justin, you are saying had a negative effect on you and many of your classmates.
That is correct, yes, sir.
Tell me about what your classmates said.
A lot of them had similar conversations with their mom or their dad. Just to straighten it out, you know, in their own minds, because they were feeling confused about what they did to them, and what Herman Cain was going to do to them.
But when you say Herman Cain was going to do to them...
Well, I mean the commercial. And I shouldn't say what Herman Cain was going to do, but what I'm saying is what Herman Cain did with the commercial. And so that's when we said, well, look, I'm trying to... I'm trying to just live my life, and I'm trying to be in, I guess what you could say is I'm trying to survive being in high school, and all of a sudden here comes this commercial.
I'm going to play this section for you again, Justin, because you asked me to. This is the key section here of the singing, I believe. Let me just roll it back, where the actual cigarette smoking takes place.
This country back.
Right here.
Okay, go ahead.
Right here is where, when I heard I'm an American, I felt like a lot of ways that I would be, when he smoked the cigarette on that one, when she sang that way, I felt like I had been lied to by the people that told me to quit, because they were being strong and singing about being an American, and that guy was smoking a cigarette, and I felt as if my mother and my father and everybody had lied to me about cigarettes. And that's one of the reasons why I went to my mom and I said, you know, I asked her, why did you lie to me? And she said, you know, I didn't lie to you. And I said, well, yeah, you did. And she asked why, and I said, because of how I felt when I heard the commercial. And she said, no, you are being influenced by them to think that way, and that really has had a negative effect on you because you want to have a cigarette.
Did you want to have a cigarette?
What do you mean?
When you heard I Am an American sung and you saw the man, Mr. Block, puffing on the cigarette, did you want to have a cigarette?
I did, yeah. I did want to have a cigarette. I felt that my mother explained to me that I wanted to have a cigarette because I am a male, and
you're hold on for a minute. Your mother explained to you what?
Well,
see, what I'm hearing here is that your mom has told you basically how to feel about this.
No, I mean, no, that's no way. I mean, that would make me. That is kind of an insult. I would never let my mom tell me how to think about anything because I don't really. In a lot of ways, I don't approve of how my mom conducts her life. She's very, I love my mother, but she's the clothes she wears are inappropriate a lot of times, and she's very provocative around, you know, men and stuff. So I don't really approve of my mom, but I do believe her.
So you have this kind of this relationship with your mother, okay?
I mean, I believe her when she says that I've been negatively affected by the cigarette smoke.
All right, so what do you think should be done coming from a high school student point of view?
What I feel should be done is that they should take the commercial off the air and not allow it to be run. And
do you feel that way, or did your mom tell you that?
No, I mean, I felt...
I'm just asking, you know, because...
No, I feel that way. My mom agrees with me, and my dad agrees with me, but I do feel it needs to come off the air.
All right, Justin McElroy with us on the Herman Cain ad with the cigarette smoke, and we'll be back, 877-876-PHIL. World Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Justin McElroy from L.A. Canyon High School in the northern environs. I think it's around Lancaster. I'm not sure. Justin, where is your school located?
Actually, we're in Chatsworth.
Oh, Chatsworth. Okay, sorry. And we're talking about the effect that this cigarette, because, you know, let's face it, When these mistakes are made, or when these things happen, which is, in this case, a cigarette was smoked in the middle of a Herman Cain ad, we get all kinds of discussion from people about, you know, the effect it has on kids. And so we're asking this young man, Justin, now you have told me that it has had a negative effect on you. I'm not sure whether I know this is your feeling or your mother's feeling, or what it is, but I can assure you that that it sounds a little bit like both, to me, anyway.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, my mom has told me that if I need to be very vocal about the Herman Cain campaign and how much it hurts me, because, you know, my mom's concerned that the conservatives will get back in. Yeah, that's true. But she's not trying. She's not telling me to say this because she doesn't want Herman McCain elected. And
his name's not McCain; it's Cain. You know, which may be a very unfortunate last name.
No, I meant Cain. Yeah.
Maybe given the elections in 2008. Now I want to bring on here Brad Rifkin in Las Vegas. Brad survived lung cancer back in 2007. And Brad, how are you tonight, sir?
Thank you for bringing me on, and thanks for the continued good work you're doing on the radio.
What kind of lung cancer did you have?
Well, I had something called an adenocarcinoma. It was a common, what is called a NSCLC, which is a normal size cell lung cancer. It's about 50% of all lung cancers in the United States, and it's associated with smoking, which is what I was doing, and... but they do see it in non-smokers, too.
It's called a what?
It was called adenocarcinoma, and I had part of my right lung removed. I was very fortunate. It was caught very early, and as a result of that, I've been, I've been cigarette-free.
Now, did you see this commercial?
Yes, I did.
And what do you think? Now, you're a lung cancer survivor, and you see Herman Cain with this... commercial, and this guy that's smoking in the middle of the commercial. What did you think of it?
I didn't have a problem with it. I didn't have a problem with it at all. I'm not a reformed smoker. And with all due respect to the young man that you have on your program, I'm not, you know, I don't have my mom telling me, you know, what to think. And I'm not, you know, I'm my own man. So I saw it, and I felt it's his right. As an American, to smoke a cigarette, there's no law against smoking cigarettes in commercials. And I don't think that just because a guy takes a couple of puffs on a cigarette, kids are going to go out and pick up a cigarette.
What do you think of that, Justin?
Well, I just want to tell the guy that I don't think the way I think because my mom told me to, you know?
I mean, that's what it sounded like to me. That's what Mr. Henry was saying, you know?
You know, I know, but I don't... You know, I'm not doing it because my mom said. I'm doing it because I really do feel, you know, that.
Okay, why do you feel?
I mean, you know, you had your lung out, right?
No, I didn't have my lung. I had part of my lung.
Has part of his lung taken out?
Well, that's what I mean. And I don't want to grow up to have, you know, my lungs or whatever taken away, and it's bad for you. And when I saw that commercial, I knew that I was being badly influenced.
And, well, when you say you were being bad, do you mind if I ask a question, Bill?
Go ahead.
When you say you were being badly influenced, what does that mean? I mean,
it means that I knew that when that man smoked the cigarette, that it was hurting me. It was hurting my mind.
What, so that means that you felt like you were going to go out and smoke a cigarette?
Yeah, and I don't know. You know, you're sitting here talking to me and everything, and you had your part of your lung removed. Don't you feel like you'll be made to go have one too?
No, I don't feel made to go have what? You know,
a cigarette. I'm not talking about going out and having butt sex or.
Hey, look at.
Can we watch the language there? I don't think that that's appropriate for you at all.
Well, it's not appropriate for this gentleman.
Hey, I didn't say anything. You should watch your language. Mr. Henry's right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I didn't. Well, okay. I mean, I'm sorry, but he's going like, you know, do you want to go out and have one?
And I meant to say, you know, you said go out and have one.
Yeah, I know, but the one you said go out and have one, I think you said go out and have one. And
no, I think you said it.
Yeah, I think you were the one that said it.
No, I did not. I did not say go out and have one, because that sounds like going out and experimenting with, you know, getting a guy to have, you know, do something to you. And,
What?
What are you talking about, man? What are you talking about?
What does that mean?
I think you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, let's go out and have one.
Hey, I'm talking about a cigarette. And I'm talking about whether or not you wanted to have a cigarette.
And I already told you that I was negatively influenced by the man that smoked it on TV.
So you were negatively influenced by this man, Mr. Block, who you don't know. He's never been to your home. You've never spoken to him. You've never met him. And yet that simple act of him raising that cigarette to his mouth and puffing on it is enough to, you know...
To what?
It's enough to make you want to go have a cigarette.
No, it's not enough. It's bad. It's bad to me. In other words, I'm not going to go have a cigarette, but that is going to make me want... It's bad for me because I may want to go have one.
That's exactly what this man is saying.
That's what I'm trying to say.
He's saying that the act of that man smoking that cigarette is of a negative influence on you.
Yes, that's exactly right, yeah.
So, when you said that...
Why are you asking me questions? I could ask you questions.
Because you're the guy that came on here saying that the ad was bad.
Well, you're the guy that came on here saying ad was good. So why can't I ask you questions?
Go ahead.
How come after you had lung cancer that you're all okay with smoking?
I'm not okay with smoking. I don't smoke cigarettes.
No, but I mean, like, how come after having lung cancer, you're okay with kids being influenced to have... a cigarette?
Because I'm not okay with it, you know.
See, you don't have an answer for that. See,
no, I said. See.
Let the guy answer, will you?
See,
I say, what you know? I said, see.
Hey, let him answer, will you, Justin? Don't sit there going, see.
Well, he doesn't have an answer for it.
Yeah, I do. I'm not okay with you being influenced to have a cigarette. I'm not okay with you being, but I don't think that you did because you said that your mother told you to say the things what you said.
Okay, right there. See, Mr. Henry, there it is. The lid got ripped off of it when the man said he thought that my mom influenced. Okay, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Well, you lipped the lid off of it.
What do you mean I lipped the lid off of it?
You did.
You mean he ripped the lid off?
No, he lipped the lid. And
what does that mean, I lip the rid?
It means you put your lips on it. And
something, I don't like anybody talking to me like that.
Well, I mean, the fact is that you're admitting to the fact that you, I forget what we were talking about now.
Well, you guys are getting off on some weird-ass tangent here, but essentially what you're saying, Justin, is that Mr. Rifkin... I don't know what you're saying. I think you're saying that Mr. Rifkin is okay with kids smoking cigarettes.
I'm not okay with kids smoking cigarettes. All right. I don't blame you, by the way, for losing track when a kid said rip, you know, lip the rid. And
that's what you said, and that's what I heard you say. And my mom is here too. And
Your mom, you know. Yeah, what about my mom? You've been bringing your mom up and talking about how your mom said this and your mom said that and your mom said something else and your mom is this and your mom is that. And then you turned around and you said that your mom addresses inappropriately, that she's loose around men, that she is some kind of a... I mean, I don't know what you actually said. What is he doing?
What are you doing?
That isn't me. That's just... that was... I don't know what that was.
That sounds like a bong hit to me. Okay. So,
Well, it doesn't matter, Mr. Henry. I wasn't smoking it, you know.
Well, that's fine. But, so I guess we know the thinking that goes into, the conclusions that you draw.
It's a bong hit. And for me and for the people that I have known in my life, I would ask the young man not to do that while we're talking on the... Do not do that while you're talking.
Hold on.
What? Would you not do that while we're talking? Because I'm over here trying to talk to you.
Hey, put the bong down, okay?
Mr. Henry, I'm not doing it.
Well, whoever it is.
I'm just saying that for all the people that I've known who are against smoking...
Yeah, but you guys are sitting there blasting up... All right.
See, what a hypocrite. That's your mom drink. I bet you that's your mom smoking it.
Maybe it's your mom. I don't know, you know?
Great. Okay, thanks, gentlemen, very much for being on the program tonight. Talking about the cigarette that was in the Herman Cain ad that has caused some discussion. And again, like everything else on this show, you have to understand when we give you a news story, we also like to give you another added piece of information. We tell you what the news story is. We tell you that this is supposedly making news. And then we tell you whether or not it is in fact making news. Is it really something that is making news or is it something that has been invented by the media itself to sell a newspaper? At this particular point, it seems like 90% of these stories that it has been to a degree invented, but there seems to be some controversy, I think, among politicos and members of the opposition, you know. All right, we're going to come back on a world-famous Phil Henry show with more news, including a visit from Mr. Roland Schwinn from Pride America on the McDonald's restaurant menu, adding the McRib. The McRib has made a comeback. We'll talk with Roland Schwinn from Pride America coming up next hour on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
Because of what they did there. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Let me get back to this young man. RC, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes, we did.
So, the reason why I called up was I wanted to talk to that one guy, though.
Well, he's gone, but you were asking me about shrimping?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to believe that you can catch a half-foot-long shrimp in America or in America. And I think a lot of people have pretty well figured that out.
Why people figured that out? Why is it that I got to buy shrimp that comes from Vietnam?
Well, I mean, you don't have to buy shrimp that comes from Vietnam, or you don't have to buy any shrimp at all. But if you've seen a lot of the movies that have been made, and I'm sure you have, Mr. Henry, that have come out of China, and also I guess they do movies out of Vietnam, but I'm not really sure about it. I mean, that's also where the atomic bomb was originally blown away or blown up or anything, and that affected the size of a lot of the shrimp that you do have. And it is radiation, which is bad, but also it's you can still eat it. And
are you trying to tell me? And this is what you're trying to tell me. That Asian shrimp...
I'm just telling you that what I know from friends of mine that served over in Vietnam, and...
I know that you're in a military academy, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you want to be in the Army, is that correct?
Well, yeah, but I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with me wanting to be in the Army. This has more of me to do with when you said that you caught half-foot-long shrimp in Florida, which I thought was bogus. And that's why I said what I said.
Well, it's not bogus, because I'm here to tell you I did. And we used to, you know...
Well, how'd you catch them?
We caught them with a net.
No. I think you're supposed to do it with a line.
You don't catch shrimp with a line. You don't catch shrimp with a fishing pole, with a rod?
Well, I mean, what do you mean with a net?
Everybody knows you catch shrimp with a net, okay? And you have a light, and the shrimp are drawn to the light, and you push your net down there, and that's how you catch them. Now, I don't know where you're getting your information, but radiation, insofar as it exists in the waters of Asia, like China and whatever, didn't make the shrimp over there bigger.
Well, I don't know how you can say that because the...
I can say it because it's true.
Because the mythology that has come, and if you've ever seen any Japanese anime, which I do and a lot of my friends and I really like it a lot, is that you'll see a lot of the mutations that are on the menus over there.
And what mutations are on the menus? What do you mean?
Well, I mean the I don't want to say giant because you'll say that I'm lying, but...
I'm not going to call you a liar, young man. I'm just saying that there's no such thing as the radiation causing the seafood to grow bigger. So that when I say that I caught... we would catch shrimp up to a half a foot long. Yeah, they're huge. Have you ever really seen shrimp out of the ocean?
Well, yeah, I've seen shrimp out of the ocean. Excuse me, that's what you eat when you go to order shrimp. It comes from the ocean. God, can you believe what you just said?
No, hey, wait a second. I mean, have you ever seen a shrimp? Have you ever been standing there when somebody caught a shrimp?
Well, I don't know that you have to be standing there when someone catches a whale to know that the whale, that the bottom of the bottom of the ocean's full of whale dew.
What?
I said I don't think you have to be there when they catch a whale to know that the whales go dew at the bottom.
Dude, I don't know what you just said. Okay.
I can say it again. I don't stutter.
Yeah, well, you know what? You might as well, because that doesn't make any sense. What I'm talking about. I'm saying, if you've ever seen a shrimp caught, you see big ass shrimp, way bigger than anything they're going to serve you in a restaurant, and probably even bigger than what you buy in a store. And I don't know what they do with those giant ones. You know,
probably grind them up and make them into cat food.
Yeah, that's what I heard. They make it into cat food.
That's the stupidest thing I ever heard, to make a big giant shrimp out of that and make it cat food. That proves you're lying. And
you know, we don't like to call people liars around here. That is a very insulting and very rude thing. All right?
Well, I mean...
What did you tell me? I'm lying? Are you saying I'm lying?
Well, if you said they grind up a giant shrimp to give to a cat...
I'm just telling you, I think that they do that.
I don't know if they take the big giant... I don't know what they do with those. There's a lot of the stuff that happens, and a lot of the seafood is turned into cat food. I know that. They grind it up. They put it in a can. They call it,
Well, they'll call it, like, seafood buffet and give it to the cat like the cat cares. You know, like if you've ever seen Sheba, and...
Yeah, well, Sheba's got the seafood buffet and a tuna treat.
Yeah. So what?
Well, I mean, I just think it's important to know that while they're taking what you're saying, there's giant shrimp, and what they do with it is grind it up and make it into the seafood buffet, and they're lying. Well, they're not lying to a cat because the cat's not buying it, you know.
Yeah, but still, if you're gonna buy it and give it to a cat,
you guys are listening to yourselves, right?
What?
What? I'm talking to this guy about the actual size of shrimp out of the ocean, and now we're on seafood buffet and Sheba?
Well, no, we're just seeing whether or not a cat knows the difference between the Sheba buffet or the, like...
Yeah, like tuna, or like the tuna banquet.
Yeah, like, if you ever seen it, have you ever had a tuna banquet? I tried it one time, wasn't bad.
Did you put it on a cracker?
Yeah. Are you guys out of your minds? You put the tuna banquet on a cracker?
It's to see if your cat will like it.
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, the point is you're the one that said that there's gigantic shrimp in the ocean, and yet you reject the notion that maybe they come from Japan. You, because you want to be selling it to America.
You know something, man? All I'm telling you is that there's giant shrimp that I've caught in American waters, and yes, I'd like American seafood to be sold in our stores more than it is, and no, I don't buy any Chinese seafood, I don't buy any Vietnamese seafood. Why? I'm not boycotting them. I'm not boycotting them at all. I'm trying to support American fishermen, and I like the idea, especially when it comes to fish. I like the idea of eating something that was caught in American waters. I don't know. Call me crazy.
I mean, what difference does it make? It's still the same fish. It's not. You just said they don't have no giant fish in China, and they don't have no giant. I mean, you know what you're saying? In other words, that they're not no gianter.
Not no gianter.
No, no, they ain't no bigger.
Yeah, that's what I figured he was trying to say.
Well, but they're. So what difference does it make?
Yeah, exactly. What difference does it make?
Yeah, what difference does it make?
What difference does it make?
That's what difference does it make? I can buy a
Shiba.
I can buy Shiba, not Shiba. I can buy seafood over here, and it's as good a quality. If get these guys out of here, get him out. Thank you very much, young man. Blow it out your, you know what? God,
but you never taken tuna treat on a cracker.
No, bud. No, I haven't. And if you have, if I ever see you doing that, you're fired. That's number 853 of the things I would fire you for. Eating Sheba on a cracker. We'll be back here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.